This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning.
We just heard some stories if you were in the general session. And that's really what this is about, right? You're part of God's story. Amen?
Amen.
All right? If you're not, you need to be. Right? So, how do we tell our story with excellence? So, I have a friend, his name is Jesse, and we're really good friends. Got to know each other as teenagers. He ended up marrying my cousin. And so, as young families, we spent a lot of time together. And of course, we're all in this spiritual journey, right? Trying to find our way through life, starting out as youngsters, trying to figure out if our parents really had this together or not. And so we were both, as young families, trying to decide, you know, is where we are where God wants us to be? Well, through some of that searching, ended up that Jesse decided that the place for his family is about 3,000 miles away. So there was a while there where Jesse and I are still really good friends, at least I thought we were. But 3,000 miles away, we just didn't have the communication like we did when we were 30 minutes away. So finally, Jesse comes back. And so Jesse and Roy are kind of looking at each other a little bit and thinking, okay, so it's been a while. Who are you now? Where are you? Are you still the Jesse I knew? Are you still the Roy I knew? Like, where has your journey taken you? And I mean, I know I've had some travel. Where did you go, right? But, you know, within about 5 minutes, we knew that Jesse and Roy are still beaten to the same drum. Right? And that's how it is every time when I meet with Jesse. Yes, new experiences. Now we both have children married. Sometimes it's a long time in between times we see each other face to face, but it doesn't take long to reconnect and know that, yes, we still serve the same God, even though his path and my path have taken us in very different directions in many ways. And I tell you that story because that's where you are as communicators between the mission organization and your supporters. Can you see that? Because you need that touch. You need to be telling those stories. By the way, that's how we knew that we're really on the same path, is because we started telling our stories, right? So, you know, what's been going on, right? So you start telling the stories that have happened. Stories reveal our heartbeat. They reveal a lot of truth. Stories are wonderful, wonderful things. So I want to give you a biblical example to follow. And we're not going to read these two chapters, but Acts 13 and 14 give us a little account of how Paul and Barnabas were commissioned by the Holy Ghost and the church brothers in Antioch to go on a missionary project. And they had all kinds of things happen to them. They were in more than a dozen cities, maybe even two dozen. And it was up and down. And they eventually got back to Antioch. And what did they do? But they told the brothers back at Antioch everything that happened. And the next part is significant. It says they stayed there a good long while, right? They stayed there a good long while. Isn't that what we want? We want to be able to come back and stay a good long while if that's where God wants us to be with the people that send us. So as sending churches and mission organizations, we've got to have this communication. And so we want to tell that story with excellence. So just a quick introduction to who I am and who I'm not, because there's a lot of ways in which I don't really belong to be here. So I'm a Christian. I'm also a husband. I'm a father of five. I'm a member of a Mennonite church. I'm a business owner. I think of myself as an entrepreneur. I'm a visionary. I'm a marketer. I'm a salesman. I'm also a donor to charity. But there's a few things I'm not. So this kind of disqualifies me. I'm not a missionary, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. I'm not a church leader. I'm not a mission board member. I'm not a public relations professional, which is really what this topic is about. So if you really want to know, you need to talk to Weston, because he knows this in the real world. I'm not a writer, Caleb, as you well know.
You can find me.
And I'm not a photographer, all right? Today I'm speaking primarily from a donor's perspective. I also got a lot of good help for this topic. And Merle Burkholder, from Ontario, who's here today, gave me some very valuable input. And so I'm not going to tell you every time, because then that's all I get done saying. But Merle Burkholder gets a lot of credit. Also, had some communication with Weston Showalter, who's here in the room. And Jeremy Sensing provided some good input, too, from Heralds of Hope. Now, I'd like to do a little exercise, and I'd like if I could have two volunteers to help me out with this, who could write legibly on the whiteboard. Right, Weston, and what's your name?
Joe.
Joe, please come up if you would. And the rest of you, I'm going to give you a quiet minute, and I want you to write down 1 to 3 answers to this question. 1 to 3 answers to this question. What do you want to take away from this session? What do you want to take away from this session?
You fine young gentlemen can write your answers up here right away.
So I got two people. So Weston, if you could collect the answers from the front two rows, and Joseph from the back two rows, and just write them up on the board.
So from the front two rows.
Yep. Yeah, if you can just start here, get the answers from the front two rows, write them up on the board. I want to get everybody's at least one thing everyone wants to take away from this session up here on the board.
I'd like to mark up that God's work in the spot. Instead of myself.
Brian. Ryan, if you want to pass out their handouts now, please.
So I'm going to have Ryan passing out the handouts. And while he's doing that, when you get your handout, the one page looks like this. I think this is very important stuff, but it's stuff that I wasn't assigned to talk about and we don't have time to talk about. If you could scan this while we're doing this little exercise, that would be helpful. So again, if you have your handout, I'd like you to just read this first page if you could. I did this for a couple of reasons. One is, I want to know what you're looking for today and make sure we get you something you can take out and put to use. These are practical sessions, right? So the other thing is, if you look up here in this board, does any of the other things that came from other people look familiar? Yep. So we're not in this alone, right? These are common challenges that we're all facing. Number one, if we're going to be successful in telling our story with excellence, we need to have a vision for what that looks like. Without a vision, the people perish. And one of the common problems is that we're not really crystal clear on what this is for. What's the purpose? Why are we communicating? What are we communicating? Who needs to hear this message? And how do we want them to respond to it? So if that isn't crystal clear, then how are we going to know if we did a good job? So who in your organization is responsible for that? Is it you or is it someone else? If it's someone else, you might need to ask them for some help. So let me lay out some goals that we need to have as we develop the vision. We need to have a theme. We need to know from a long-term perspective, you know, the 10-year, 20-year perspective, what are we actually trying to accomplish with this newsletter or with this email blast or with the social posting that we're doing, whatever that is, whatever the forums are, we need to know clearly what is it that we're trying to accomplish. So that becomes a theme that we need to stick to. But then inside of that long-term picture, we need to have a short-term understanding about this particular season, whether you think of that in a year, in a quarter, or even just this piece of communication right here. Am I clear on exactly what I'm trying to accomplish with this project? Another piece of this clarity is the content scope. What are all the kinds of information that we want to include in our communication with our people? So the reason this is important is that a lot of material does not get thoroughly consumed by your audience. Sorry. I don't read it all. I just don't.
I don't know what you're going to do with me, Weston, but I don't.
So I'm the typical person, like Merle Burkholder described to me. He said, people will get your newsletter in the mail, right? And they'll open it up, and they'll go like this. They might read a caption or two, and then they lay it aside to finish. Never. All right? A lot of times, that's what happens. Not all the time. So I'm not saying your communication isn't important, because hopefully every issue gets read cover to cover by somebody, and hopefully some bodies. But just know that a lot of your material is going to get skimmed at best. So we need to keep that in mind. So we can't tell everything. We need to keep it to the important stuff. And what is that? That said, think about the different aspects of your organization and cover all of them. We all have our pet projects, right? We all have the things that we're committed to, that we're passionate about. But as communicators, we should be doing the whole organization justice with what we're covering. And field reports, reports from what's happening out there that your supporters don't see, are very, very important. What does it look like? What are the stories? What's happening on the ground? What are the struggles? Very important there. From a donor perspective in particular, we want to know, what did our funds accomplish? Right? So we wrote a check. We're wondering, did anything happen with that, or should I give it somewhere else next time? What about staff? How many of you organizations have a staffing challenge? Like, you need more people, all right? All right, here's an opportunity for you. Cover your staffing needs. Let them be known. But it's bigger than that, because you're establishing a reputation by the way you communicate about your organization that will either help or hinder you from attracting the people that you want and need. So think about that as you're putting out your content. Cover staff developments. And if you need staff, tell stories about what's happening with your staff. How are they growing in their personal lives? What are the challenges that they're overcoming? Personal growth and the experiences that they're having. Another thing that you can cover in your scope of content is kind of obvious, and yet it's important, and that is, what's happening to the recipients? The people that you're intending to serve, collaborate with, and walk beside, what's happening in their lives? What does that collaboration look like? And may I use the word sell? Sell to your needs, whether it's funds, whether it's people, whether it's prayer, whether it's some other kind of support that you could get from others. Sell that, right? Sell is a good word. It actually comes from a Norwegian word, selja, that means to serve. There's people that want to help. And what you're doing is you're giving them that opportunity to serve. So sell that. Don't be bashful about that. Be clear. What are the needs and how we can help? And the more specific you can be with that, the better. Like, put numbers to it. I'm kind of a numbers person, so maybe this is a little bit of a hobby horse just for me, but I think a lot of people that are donors like numbers. And numbers give credibility. When you can pin it down to a number or a specific fact, whether it's dollars or the pounds of beans you need or the miles that need to get traveled or the number of houses that need to get repaired, when you can put a specific number to it, it's much more meaningful. With that, though, don't become demanding, please, because we don't like that. We don't have to give to you, and if you demand it, we probably won't. So sell it, but please don't demand. So inform us. Tell us exactly what it is that you need. A prayer request box is a good place to share struggles and difficulties. Not the only place, but that's a good place to do that. I'd like to talk next a little bit about creating a plan. And I think I do know something about this, because this is what I do every day at work with my team. I'm from Rosewood Marketing, and we help businesses create and manage a marketing plan. Now, you're not calling this a marketing plan, but that's what it is. It's really what it is. So after 25 years of this, I think I know a little bit about how to do this, and I've seen some of the common pitfalls. I'm sure I haven't seen everything yet, and we're not perfect. But please schedule some time to plan. Remember we talked about that vision? That doesn't happen in 2 minutes. Somebody's got to spend some time at that. If you're a leader in your organization that's responsible for that, you need to carve out some time to figure that out if you didn't know it already. If you're the one that needs the vision, do whatever you can to get the right person to help you with that. It's super important. And here's a little secret. If they don't want to carve out that time because they're busy probably, it will save them time, right? I can guarantee that. It will save them time in the long run. And you can guarantee that to them as well. I'll stand behind you. You can call me if you have a problem with that. But the time that your leader spends to develop the vision and help you create a plan, typically for a year, is what we think in terms of. You might need to adjust that based on your situation. But I'm going to call it a year, and you can interpret if you need to. That planning time will come back to your leader 2x or more, because you're not going to bug them nearly as much. I love plans. It saves leaders a lot of time. So what needs to go in the plan? 3 things. First of all, you're going to need a time budget. All these things take time. It takes time to communicate, right? That's one of the reasons we're so bad at it, because we just don't invest the time that we should to do it well. So you need to carve out the time. So you've got to have the hours for somebody, probably multiple people, to do what needs to be done. It's not just one person, typically. And we'll get into a little bit more of that later. But everybody that needs to do something, that time's got to come from somewhere. And are we agreed on that? Does everybody understand it? That, hey, Johnny, you know, next month, we're going to do this article about the boating issue we have. You know, this is what I need from you. Or are you going to be able to carve out the time to get that to me? Secondly, is a calendar. A calendar of events. So if you're going to put out a newsletter every month, every quarter, you know, what's the deadline date for that newsletter? It needs to be on your calendar. But what else needs to be on your calendar for that newsletter?
Time carved out.
All right, time carved out for what?
To do the work.
To do the work, all right. So you're exactly right, Weston, but you're not quite answering the question the way I wanted it answered, so I'm going to mark it wrong. Is that okay?
Sure.
No, that's exactly right. But so we're thinking about dates here, right? All right. So we can't get to March 19 newsletter deadline and begin thinking about it at 8 o'clock March 19, can we?
No.
We've got to have some other dates. March 2, February 28, January 6, to do what? What do we got to do?
Bite-sized steps.
Right. So what goes into creating that newsletter that you've got to get done?
Requesting information from the field.
All right. Somebody's got to request it. Yep.
Editing.
Thank you. Yep. Somebody's got to do the editing. What else?
Initial draft.
All right. Somebody's got to come up with that first draft that you can before we can even edit, right? What else?
Design.
Okay. Design. Yep. A little typesetting.
Pictures.
Thank you. Don't forget the pictures. That can be a struggle. Sometimes.
Yeah.
right? So what are all those pieces, and what's an appropriate timeline? What's a comfortable timeline? Because we don't want to be rushed, right? No, we want to do, we want to carve out that time. So we've got this time budget, your answer, Weston. You know, we've got to have that calendar block of 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever we need to do that little piece of work. But we also got to have that calendar of deadlines so we know that, oh, yeah, that's right, tomorrow I've got to call Sandy because, right? There's one more component to your plan. So we've got the time, the calendar, and anyone want to guess?
Funds.
Funds, that's right. We call it a dollars budget. You've got to have an agreement about what we can invest to put this communication out. What is that? So again, I'm thinking in terms of an annual plan here. We're thinking ahead. So let's go now into the content. How do you actually curate content? And before we go there, I want to suggest that for every publication that you do, whether it's a newsletter, an email, social media, whatever that is, you should have what we call in marketing a wireframe. Now, wireframe means different things to different people, so let me explain what wireframe means here today. What wireframe means is that we have a template with placeholders where certain content is going to go. So just to explain this in a newsletter, you should have a standard masthead up here at the top. So this is your organization name, you might have a logo, you know, issue, date, all that good stuff up here. Very little, if anything, is going to change there except the date and maybe some, you know, information like that. But then, you know, what happens in the rest of this cover page and the rest of the pages in the newsletter? There should be a standard format. So, for example, you might say, well, you know what, we're always going to have two pictures on the front page of our newsletter, and we're always going to run the title, the full width across the front, so we have nice big title space, which, by the way, is really important. Don't skimp on your title space. And then, you know, we're going to have some blocks of text in here, but we're also going to have this special message block down in this corner for the most urgent need that we have. Right, I'm just making this up on the fly, but this is a wireframe. So can you see how that would be helpful when you get to actually curating your content that you need? I didn't say you can never digress from this, but if you can figure out what makes a good default approach for you, it can be very helpful in streamlining your process. So, number of pictures. You should know a word count target for every piece of content. All right? That way, when it comes time to typeset it, it fits. And we're not trying to squeeze it, make it small, trying to edit it shorter, or end up with 3/4 of a page left over that we don't know what to do with. All right, so wireframe every piece. If you're going to be posting on Facebook, it's pretty simple. But the other thing about the wireframe then is it actually helps to build trust in your organization, because as humans, we love consistency. The other thing that we love about content that follows a standard wireframe is that it's so easy to consume the content because we know where to find stuff. Right? We know where to find stuff. By the way, on your website and on a newsletter, but particularly think website, there's kind of normal places for things to be, right? There's some norms about where the menu is going to show up, where the contact us link is, things like that. Follow the norms. Just follow the norms and don't annoy people. So my creative team isn't here. Creative people love to change it up. Like, it's, God, oh, we did it this way yesterday. It was great. We all loved it. The client approved it. But this is a brand new day. Let's change it. I mean, we've had that for, you know, 18 and a half hours already. It means it's time to change. No. That's not the decision that the creatives are supposed to make. They do have decisions that they should be making, just not those decisions. All right, so that's wireframing. So now, how do you curate your content? I'd like you to tell me, how do you guys do this? Because I don't know. How do you do it?
We get articles, so we have a person on the field. This particular organization, Shining Light Children's Home of Mexico. So a person in the field that's responsible to collect all the articles. So she's usually working a month in advance, getting all the articles in. And then it goes to the local. She has two or three other people that are the local committee. And then it comes to the PR person on the U.S. side. And then it goes to publishing.
Okay. So you used the word collect articles. That sounded so easy.
It is for me as chairman. Nothing. But the process and system in place has just been working.
Right. So what about
they sit down with the person and they actually have the person talk and they do most of the writing, because most of the good stories are not from the people that can write.
Wow. Thank you.
Yes. Yep. A key point there. Did you all hear that?
Yep.
Most of the stories are coming from the people who are not good at writing. Right.
One really handy thing that we've been starting to use that's helped that, and that is very true, that a lot of good stories reside with people that just hate sitting down and sending you an email with the account. So something like WhatsApp or Signal, and just tell them, you can just give me a recording, a couple minutes, just tell me about it, and we'll take it from there. You won't have to worry about anything else. And that enables a non-writer to tell a story with some significant detail that they would not have included if they needed to agonize through.
Yeah.
And sometimes someone that isn't a gifted writer feels kind of intimidated to type something up and send it to a writer or editor. So that's kind of a helpful way to meet in the middle there.
Yes.
We always read it back to them before we publish it, though, so we have it. Because you can change the story if you're not careful with them.
Right, yeah, good point. Thank you for that. So, that oral delivery, I think, can be a huge help. We do that with our clients to collect information. It's so hard to get somebody to write stuff down. But if you can get someone on the phone and ask them some questions, it flows, and then the writers can take it from there. Pictures are huge, very important. Good photos with good captions. And put in people that your audience knows, if you can, right? Make it familiar. And I'll just drop a note here. Be aware of what the cultural and legal ramifications are for photos of people. I'm not an expert on that, but it is a thing, and you should be aware of what that means. We already talked about editing. You need to have an editing cycle.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm going to interrupt you, but this is changing so fast in the last 5-10 years, because I have someone at Grassroots Hut on WhatsApp with me here, and with friends that they had, you know, that were over there, short-term workers, and so they have access to see how we're representing them, and
just that's right. I think we need to highlight.
Absolutely.
It's changing fashion we can keep up with.
It
we
is.
We need to be very respectful.
That's right. And it's very important. I appreciate you bringing that up because it's very important that whatever we publish is respectful to everyone. Because, number one, that's the right thing to do. But number two, pretty much everyone can get a hold of it. It's the people in your local community on the field. It's the local government officials. It's foreign government officials. There's just not secrets today unless God hides it. I mean,
to emphasize how true this is, in Java Tazo, our coffee company, years ago we took a picture in the field, and like 10 years later we get a lawsuit. This person had left the country that the picture was taken in, was down in the U.S. Of course, not here legally, but we end up in this big lawsuit over a picture we had of them on the website. So you did not have a right of use of my picture. We finally settled the lawsuit, but so now we use right of use for the photography that we use.
Thank you. That's what you want to avoid, right?
That's what you want to
avoid. Wasn't really a fun experience, I'm guessing.
Get signed every photo. Signed up.
If we're going to use your picture, we usually have a right of use for your picture, for your business, for your.
So what are you going to edit? Grammar, spelling, punctuation, and common language. Don't give me any acronyms. Like this whole NGO world is a world of its own that a lot of us, we don't know what the acronyms mean. So don't use them, please. Photo editors, just a quick comment here. When you're working on a picture, it can be edited, right? We've got a lot of power today, so you can't believe everything you see in a photo anymore. Just ask yourself, why am I making the changes to the picture? Is it to communicate the message more accurately? Or am I trying to, I wouldn't admit this to myself, but actually trying to just skew it a little bit to be more favorable to my audience? I would suggest that you get someone, pick, two or three people out of your audience to review your newsletters before they go out. We put some things out there already that we wish we would have never printed because we just didn't think about how it's going to hit somebody from a different perspective. And it's challenging to cover all the angles as an editor and even with multiple reviewers. So just an idea for you to save yourself some unhealthy travel there. One thing, just jumping back to this planning idea, the plan in the drawer doesn't help. Here's the cure for that. Every month, you have a meeting with your plan and someone else. Because if someone else is invited to the meeting, then you're not going to skip it as easy. But that will really help with your execution.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.